The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha, and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen.
Daf Nun Gimel, today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat, Mor Zekenin, Yosef Ben Sarav, and Marat Zekenati, Yafa Ben Sarav, Abraham Ben Esther, Hashem Tehi, Amir Ben Eden, Amen, Amen, Shalom, Moshe Ben Sarav, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarav, Hama Bat Rahay, Vesarav Bat Rahay, Le'inna Nefana Lahim, Fot Nefesh, Fot Aguf, Fot Amkir Bal Bavichin, Yerosov, Ramar, Amen. We begin today's daf, Anun Bet, Amud Bet, and we are starting from the Mishnah, on the bottom of the Amud. It is five lines from the bottom. Our Mishnah now discusses different cases where a person damages his friend's property. It's called a hezek. But we're talking about a situation over here that's a hezek she'eno nikar. It is not noticeable, which means the quantity of the item did not change. However, the fact is that there was a damage, although not noticeable. The Gemara gives different examples. I'm mitameh. That's a person that goes and he's mitameh his friend's tarot. Yes, terumah, for example. The guy goes, tameh, touches his friend's terumah, so therefore he makes it unusable. V'amitameh, well, for that matter, is he mixes, let's say, his friend has cholin. Cholin is usable. He goes, he puts terumah now in his friend's cholin. He mixes terumah in it. Now the guy can't eat it. The only thing he can do with it now is sell it to a Kohen. But he can sell it for a cheaper price now, because he don't have a lot of customers. So therefore he damaged them. So therefore it's also a hezek. Or what did he do? He took his friend's wine, and he went, it was minasech et fa'avodah zarah, let's say. He poured it l'shem avodah zarah. Now he made the yayin nesech, it's asur, he cannot benefit from it. In all these cases over here, the Mishnah gives a din. The din is b'shogeg patur b'mezid hayav. If you did it b'shogeg, by mistake, whatever it is, you know, halakha, patur, it was a mistake, or bezid, he's going to be hayav to compensate. Now, we have to understand what kind of halakha. If you're guilty, you're guilty. If you're innocent, you're innocent. Why should we make a haluk between shogeg and mezid? So, comes the Gemara begins. Itmar, first we got to get the cases clear. Menasech, what is the case of menasech? So, we learned it that what? You poured the wine, the shem, avodah zarah. Well, that's what Rav says. Rav, amar, menasech, mamash. Yeah, exactly that. You took the wine, the shem avodah zarah, the mefarshim explain over here, well, you mixed it actually. You took your hand, like a ladle, and you mixed the wines. That's what they used to do for the avodah zarah. And he did such a thing. She says, shikshik biyado letocho, the shem avodah zarah. That's what they used to do. They used to mix with their hands, the shem avodah zarah. Ushmuel amar, me'arev. Shmuel says, no. What he did was he mixed, which means the guy, his friend, had regular wine. This guy took Yayin Nesek, that was Yayin Nesek already, and he just poured it into his wine, ruined his wine, he spoiled his wine by eating now Yayin Nesek. Okay? So comes the Gemara, that was a Subhanah. So comes the Gemara and says the following, according to says, you just mixed Yayin Nesek already into your friend's wine and thereby ruining it. How come it doesn't say Minasek? We actually poured the wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Why don't you say that? You took your friend's wine, right, like Rav said, and you poured him a batch of avodah zarah. Why did he say that? Amar lechem menasech, kamna b'drabah mina, or kamna b'drabah mina. We have a basic rule over here that when there's two punishments that are levied on a person, you give him the more severe punishment. Kamle b'drabah mina, which means give the person drabah, the stronger of the two. Now, when a person pours wine for the sake of avodah zarah, that's called worshipping avodah zarah. That's isur deoraita, you hayav sikira for such a thing. Now the law is, even though at the same time you do hayav sikira, there's a monetary damage of it because you stole your friend's wine, we waive the monetary damage in lieu of the higher or the most severe punishment. So therefore, the Shmuel comes on and says, I didn't learn the case of menasech because Menasek is not going to be a monetary punishment of it. It's only going to be a sekira.
Oh, v'idach.
Oh, so what does Rav say?
Kedarabi Yirmiya. Tamar Yirmiya. Mishalat Agbaha. Hu dekana.
Which means here the monetary and the death penalty come at separate times. It doesn't come simultaneously. When the guy picks up the wine, he stole his friend's wine. At that point over there, he's hayav on the monetary. He's not a hayav mitah till he actually pours it. The only time you say kimne bedrabamine is when you do one action and simultaneously you have two items. You have a monetary and a death penalty. But here, once he picked it up, bingo, at that point over there he's a gazlan. At that point already the hayyub mamon is on him. Later on when he pours the wine, so therefore we can say it's hayav. At that point over there he's hayav already mamon, even before there was a death penalty. Now we go the other way. Rav, you learned menasech. You learned yimamash, poured the wine of your friend for the avodah zarah. Maitamadu amar me'arif. How come you didn't learn it like Shmuel said? Simple case. You took yayin nesek already, and you just mixed it into your friend's wine, and therefore you spoiled his wine. You ruined his wine. Amalecha me'arif. We have that case already. Isn't it in the second case of the Mishnah Midama? What does Midama mean? You went, you took Tiruma, and you mixed it with your friend's Hulin, thereby ruining his Hulin. Now you made his Hulin, Tiruma, you damage it. So it's the same thing. You mixed it with Tiruma, or you mixed it with the Yayin Esek. Either way, you did the same result. You ruined the guy's item. So therefore, we have the case of Me'arev already in the Mishnah. We don't need to repeat another case of Me'arev. Me'arev is Midamar HaSim, therefore he wants to do the case as Menasech. Oh, V'idach. So what does Shmuel do? Seemingly you have two similar cases. Kenasahu. U'mikenasah lo yalfinan. We have a general rule. We're going to learn this Mishnah. All the cases over here that we're saying, that we're going to be saying that it's Asur, right? If he did it b'mizid, yahayab, this is really a Knas. Because we're going, according to this line of reasoning over here, that really, hezek she'enu nikar, a damage that's not noticeable. Yeah, when you look at this wine, it doesn't look like it got damaged. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened to it. You can't tell, right? You didn't steal a couple of quarts of the wine. You didn't steal the guy's holin. He just did something where you really can't tell that there's anything wrong with it. Really, according to this opinion, minat Torah, hezek she'enu nikar, is enu mazik. And therefore, you don't have to pay. The only reason why we make the guy pay is because it's a knas. Okay, to punish the guy. Hey, you damaged the guy on purpose. We're going to class you. Penalty. You got to pay. Now, we have a general rule. Once already you put a subject in knas category, in a penalty, you can't learn one class from another class. So therefore, even though they sound similar, this is a medama. Hey, you mix the guy's tirumah with, you mix tirumah with holin. This is a case of mixing yayin nesich with the yayin holin. Even though they sound similar, again, when it comes to the Knas rules, each case has to be spoken out. You can't learn, just because we said Medama, you can't learn from there. Me'arev. Look at that, she on the line over there. Hainu Medama, right? That was the question of the Gemara. What do you need the case of Me'arev? What do you need the case of Me'arev? Me'arev is I'm sorry, what do you need the case of mixing? Mixing is the same case of a midama. Shema'arev beheter davar ha'osro. Right? You're mixing with something that's mutar, something that osers it. You have chulin, you mixed it with tiruma. You have regular wine, you mixed it with yayin, nesich. Vekeban dishamin and dekansur banan. Once already I heard that the rabbis were kones the guy on midama, who had India firme leminasich. Velo etztarich lemitnia. Would you deny? I would not need that case. Aval ha'ash to the minasich mamash. Which means, but now I'm telling you a bigger hadush. According to Rav, Rav says, to me the cases are not similar. To me, I'm telling you the case of Menasek is where you're actually pouring the wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That's a hadush. You know what the hadush is? That don't say Kimne Bedrabamine. Because I'll say what? That the Gezela came first. So he says, I'm good. I have Medama, that's one case, and I have Menasek, which is another case. However, you, Midama and Minah, you Shmuel, Midama and Minasech are the same exact case. He's not out. Next Rashi, Kenasau. Mitame u Midama de Mebezid Hayav Kenasau. Dehezek Sheinu Nikar Lashem Hezek. That really, Minah Torah, Hezek Sheinu Nikar is not really considered a Hezek. And therefore, really, the only reason why you're going to be Hayav Midama de Mebezid is because it is a
Knas, v'kenasa, mikenasa, lo yalfinan. De'alav dinahu, which means it's not a law, it's a penalty. V'hecha de kanus kanus. V'hechad de lo kanus lo kanus. V'lak yitzarich menasech. And therefore you can't say, well, if this is hayat, kanas, this is hayat. You gotta speak out all the kanasot. Comes the Gemara and says, continue. Ulman di'alif. Kenasa, mikenasa. Oh, but according to the opinion that says, you can learn one case to the other case, was really according to Rav. Rav holds, the reason why he didn't learn the case Me'ariv, is because Me'ariv and Medama are the same. Because once already you learn one case of Kenas, they're all the same. Oh, Kol Hani Lamali. We need all the cases of the Mishnah for. Which is, all you got to do is teach me one case of Hezek She'eno Nikar Hayav, finished. Now you told me a principle. What do you got me three cases? The Mishnah gave me three cases. The Mishnah gave me a case of Mitameh, Midamah, Minasech. But bottom line, it's basically with the same principle. That what? Hezek She'eno Nikar Kansinan, we knas the guy, he's got to pay. Now according to the opinion that says, you can learn one knas from another knas, so therefore, which is Rav, so we need all three cases for. That the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Siricha, you need all three cases. The Itana Mitameh, if the Mishnah would have just said the first case, Mitameh, that's the guy that went and he touched his friend's Terumah. Okay, that's Mamash, he spoiled it, right? Now, Itirumah, if the case of Mitameh is talking about Terumah, in that case over there, because you really spoiled it, there's no way the Kohen can eat that anymore now. Once the Terumah is touched, Betumah, eating is not an option anymore. That's a total lifsid. Now, even if he touched his friend's Hulin, because we don't know what he touched, could be he touched his friend's Hulin, and he also was Metameh, right? Mishum da'asul legrum tumat techolin shebedis Yisrael. I'll say, you know, we have Isur, it's forbidden for people to go and mitameh their friends Hulin in Israel. Why? Because in Israel there were people called Pirushin. Pirushin were the very, very religious people that were careful to eat their Hulin betara. So I can argue and say, you know what? The guy made an Isur of it. You weren't allowed to go touch your friend's Hulin and mitameh because I'm going to knas you. So I can understand case one. If you talk about he was mitameh Terumah, he spoiled it in totality. That's why you got to knas the guy. I can also understand even if you're talking about Hulin, since he made an Isur. Because it's Asur to spoil somebody's or mitameh somebody's Hulin. So because of the Isur, we're gonna penalize the guy. Aval mitamah. But the second case, what did he do bottom line? He took Terumah and he mixed it in his friend's Hulin. Emalo. Because I could argue, is it spoiled? Well, it's not spoiled. Maybe he can't eat it, but he can sell it to a Kohen. So I might have thought that's not such considered a Hezek that we should penalize him. Now, that's why I asked to tell me the case of Midama. Now we go the other way. The Ashmeina and Midama, if you tell me the case of Midama, where you're mixing up the Terumah with the Hulin, Mishum Deshkiyah. So that's a common case, which means it's more common if a guy's going to want to cause damage to his friend, a case is he'll do it that way, which is he'll mix Terumah into the Hulin as opposed to Midameh, the guy's whole Terumah. See, that's the more prevalent item. And normally the rule is, on the more prevalent item, do you make a knas? But to go so far, but guys, ruin the guy's item, that's not a shchia case. That's what I have to say in both cases. So if a mitamah and mitamah are both there. Now, if you said both of them, the first two cases, I'll say the reason why you punish monetarily, because there's no death penalty in such a case. So all you have is a monetary case. Aval minasech. But in the case of Minasik, when we're caught it up, we learned the case where you actually poured the wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. I would have thought the Kimne Bedrabamine, I would have thought that this is a death penalty. He doesn't get the monetary. Emalo, I thought he doesn't get monetary. And what did Rabbi Yirmiyah say? That once you picked it up, you're guilty on the stealing, and therefore the monetary comes first. Therefore, you need that case as well to teach that it's not a case of Kimne Bedrabah. So if we're caught it up, all three cases are necessary. Now the Gemara says, "Ulai detani abud Rabbi Abin." There was another statement by the father of Rabbi Abin that had the three cases like this. Barishona, initially, hayu omrim hametameh v'minasech. Initially, there was only two gezerot. The gezerah they made was on metameh, that's touching the guy's terumah, let's say, and minasech, which is minasech was in the first group. Minasech was in the first group, right? Now, V'hazru lomar afa medama. And then they added a third case of medama. So according to this grouping, now let's listen to the difference. You group menasech already in round one, right? Menasech and metameh, that's group one. And then they added later on the case of medama. Now according to that, we have a problem. Why? Kol hani lamali. What do you need these cases for? Which seems, once already you told me menasech. Menasech already is the biggest hadush. Menasech already you told me that what? That even though you would have thought this came with Rabamine, by menasech, right? There's not. Kamashwan, you're going to be hayav. So certainly you don't got to tell me the way that she's learning, medama. Because medama, there's no kimne b'drabamine. There's no death penalty when a guy's medama. So if in a case where there was a potential kimne b'drabamine, you're telling me that he's got to pay. Certainly in medama, you got to pay. In this grouping, once you told me the bigger hadush of menasech, what do I need the other case? The other mifashim say, what do you even need? Metameh. Also, metameh is also not necessary. Because what you told me, because metameh, your friend's tumah is also not no death penalty there as well. So therefore, what's the srichuta? How do you learn? If I needed this, I needed that. How do you learn the srichuta? So the Gemara says sricha. Even in this grouping, you need a srichuta. Why? Again, if he just told me metameh, the guy touched his friend's item, the terumah, mishum delo kim de bedrabamine. I said, okay, in that case, you hayav, because no kim de bedrabamine. It's only monetary. Therefore, I can ask the guy that he has to pay. Aval menasech de kim de bedrabamine emalo. And there I wanted to, but maybe metameh, no, because there's a kim de bedrabamine. Kamash malam metameh. That even though there's a potential kingdom of Ramine, you're going to be hayav monetary. Now, the Ashmina Menasech, they go the other way. If it just told me Menasech, Mishum Dekam Mavsid Le Legamre. Once you Menasech the guy's wine, this wine is Asur Bahana'a Bechle. There's nothing you can do with it. The only thing you can do with it, you got to throw it out. It's Asur to derive any. But I can say in that case over there, Menasech, where you ruined it in totality, then you have to pay. Ava mitamid de lo mafsid de legamre. Oh, what? No, you can't sell turumah temeah, but you could burn it. You could use it as fuel. So therefore, it does have a usage of some sort. Okay, so therefore, I would have thought that maybe in that case over there, he doesn't have to pay because he didn't ruin it in totality. Right? Or you can feed it to the animals, that she says. Okay? That's permissible also. Good. Be'ema v'kohen, of course. Okay? Be'ema v'kohen. In any event, emalo. Okay, so I have to say that case also. That even though it's not a total damage, still you got to pay. Now, v'yashmin and haritart. If you told me the case of menasech and mitameh, mishum defsed miruba. I said, in those cases over there, it's really a big loss because you took the edibility away from it. You cannot drink this wine, nor can you eat this terumah that became terumah. That's considered efsed merubah. Ava midamah defsed mu'at emalo. Midamah, you didn't take away the eating fat because you still sell to a kohen to eat. So I would have thought maybe that's a small loss. And if I would say maybe we're not, gozer, tzericha. I have to tell me that case as well. Whatever the tzirikuta works, even according to that grouping. Now we got to go back to the basic understanding. What's pshat in this Mishnah over here that makes a hiluk between if you did it b'shogeg and you did it b'mezid? So again, we get into the great subject of a hezek she'eno nikar, a damage that is not recognizable. Like, why is it not recognizable? You look at the terumah, it looks the same. You know, little do you know, a guy went and touched it. So the hezek is not nikar. So Amar Haskiya, Devar Torah, Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezid Hayav. Oh, Hezekiah learns, Hezek She'enu Nikar Min Torah is Hayav. Whether you're a Shogeg, whether you're a Mezid, that's considered a damage. I don't care if you can't recognize it. Also, My Ta'amah, Hezek She'enu Nikar She'mezek. Okay, because why? It's a Hezek She'enu Nikar. It's considered a Hezek. Uma Ta'am Amru. B'shogeg patur. So then why did they say shogeg patur? If minat Torah hayav, how did the rabbis come along and say, if you did it b'shogeg, it's okay. So you want to say, kedeh shiyodi'o. Because if the guy's going to say, if you're going to keep the Torah law and say hayav, a guy by mistake is going to touch his friend's terumah. He's going to be embarrassed to tell him. And now what's going to end up happening? The guy's going to eat the terumah, you're going to oyay in nesek, and all the problems over there. So what they do? They said, you know what? Again, if the guy has to pay, he doesn't want to pay now. He made a mistake now. So he's going to rush it. I'm not going to tell the guy. Because you can't tell. You look at it, you can't tell the difference. So you know what the rabbi said? Listen, if you did it b'shogeg, you patur. What is that going to do? He'll tell the guy.
He knows he doesn't have to pay. I made a mistake. I touched you. So in order that the guy will admit what he did, the rabbis came along and said, no, the Torah, the rabbis have a power to be mafkiya. So therefore they came along and said, b'shogeg patur, in order that he will confess to tell the guy at least the damage. So the Gemara says, you're right, but he doesn't have a disincentive, which is if he knows he has to pay, the guy says, oh, I got to pay now for this. I didn't do anything. Oh, you know what? I'm not even telling you. Leave it alone. But if he knows he doesn't have to pay, all right, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I touched it over there. Okay, he's off the hook. So that gives him an incentive at least to confess. Okay? So even if the guy touches it on purpose, we should give him an incentive that he shouldn't have to pay. So he'll tell him. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? Hashta le'izuke kamechaven. The guy be mezid means he has intention to do it. You think he's not going to tell him? Of course he's going to. You don't need an incentive. He's going to tell him. He wants to tell him. Right. Which you want to say, maybe we should give an incentive to tell the Mizid guy, so the Mizid guy will confess. He's going to tell him. Deal with the guy you're talking about. You're talking about a guy that's going on purpose. He's purposely damaging. He wants to damage it. He wants to tell us, but by the way, I ruined your terumah. That's the type of guy we're talking about. Do I need an incentive to tell the guy? The guy's going on purpose to ruin the guy. So therefore, you could say it's going to be, keep the Torah law, and I'm not worried about that. The guy's not going to find out about it, because the guy has malintent over here. He's going to tell him. Comes Gemara and says, that's one version of learning. That's according to Hezkiah. Again, if he doesn't tell him, he didn't serve his purpose. He was bazikim, the guy didn't know. No, he's not looking for a spiritual guy. He's looking to monetarily damage the guy. Never mind, you can't use your item anymore. So that's it. He ruined him. So he's going to tell him. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Yohanan Amar. Rabbi Yohanan has a different way of understanding. Rabbi Hanan says like this: Devar Torah, Echad Shogeg, VeEchad Mezid, Patur. Oh, really? Ehezek She'eno Nikar. According to Rabbi Hanan, Torah, you're Patur. Torah only is Hayav on noticeable damages. I don't care if you're a Shogeg. I don't care if you're a Mezid. Ehezek She'eno Nikar, Patur, off the hook. Oh, my Tama. What's the reason? Because Hezek Shen Onikar, Lashem Hezek. It's not considered Hezek, according to our understanding. Umatam Amru Bemezid Hayav. Also, why did the Mishnah say if you didn't Bemezid Hayav in these cases? Shelo Yekol Echad Vechad Olech, Umetamet Tarotav Shel Havero, Veomer Paturani. Exactly. If a guy knows he's off the hook, what is he going to do? He's going to get angry at his friend. Oh, I got a way to ruin my friend, and I'm off the hook. I'll go Metamez Teruma. The guy now can't eat the terumah. I tell you, by the way, I'm sorry, I touched your terumah over there. He did not. No, he did it on purpose. But he can go tell his friend, I touched it. His friend doesn't think he's off the hook. And therefore, he has no disincentive to stop from being mitameh. So the rabbis can ask them. So we have a fantastic understanding. According to the first version of Hezkiah, the mezid chayav is Torah law. Because to be a Torah, you really have to. But you have to pay on a Hezek She'enu Nikar. It's on the Shogeg we made a Takana. Whereas according to Rabbi Yohanan, no. Min HaTorah Yepatur. The Takana we made is on the Mezid side. Because really should be Patur on the Mezid. But what? This guy's going to go on Metameh's friend stuff and say, I'm Patur. So if we have to say, you know what? We're crossing him. And if we're going to be Hayaf. There's a big Mahloket between Hezkiah and Rabbi Yohanan from the origin, from the starting point of Hezek She'enu Nikar. Now the Gemara starts to analyze the two shitot. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hakohanim shepigelu b'mikdash. What's that mean? A Kohen, the guy brings up an animal. I don't care if the animal is an obligatory animal that he's bringing. Normally an obligatory animal, if a Kohen has a bad machshava at the time of the sprinkling of the blood, either he's thinking he's going to sprinkle it past its time, right? Or eat it, let's say, past its time, or outside of its place where you're allowed to eat it. If he just thinks these things, I'm sprinkling this animal in order to eat it past its time. What do you mean? Only allowed to eat it for a day or something? I'm going to eat it 3 days later. That machshava is called pigul. Or says, I'm going to eat it, let's say, outside of the walls of Jerusalem. That already is a machshevet pigul. It ruins the korban. Okay? And that, he has that in his mind. Okay? So it says, Hakohanim shepigelu b'mikdash. Mizidim hayavim. If he does this b'mizid, he's going to be hayav to compensate the owner. Whether it's an obligatory korban, because that's got to bring another one,
Or even if it's a nidaba, you got to compensate the guy, because now the voluntary court cannot be brought, and then you ruined the guy. The guy wanted to bring a gift to God, and now he cannot bring this gift. So you got to compensate. If the kohen does it be mezid, it has to be compensated, whether it's a mandatory or even a nedaba. Now let's continue. That's the Mishnah. We have a braita. And the reason for this is tikkun ha'olam. Oh, however, but if you hold like Hezkiah, and you hold that minat Torah, Hezek she'eno nikar is hayav, hay shogegin peturin mepne tikkun ha'olam mev'ele. Which means the tikkun ha'olam is not on the mezid side, the tikkun ha'olam is on the shogeg side. Which means this statement doesn't make any sense. Well, it says, we have two statements, we have a Mishnah and a Braita. The Mishnah said, you should know, when the Kohen makes pigul, that's a hezek, but it's not nikar. The animal didn't change. It's just the guy's thought, the Kohen's bad thought during the sprinkling of the blood, ruined this korban. That's a classic hezek she'eno nikar. And what are we saying? Hey, if you did it be mezid, mezid hayav. Okay, good. End of Mishnah. Braita, you know why? Mepire tikkun ha'olam. Tikkun ha'olam. If you're holding that hezek she'eno nikar, like Hezkiah, minat Torah is hayav, the reason why mezid is hayav is not because of tikkun ha'olam. If anything, the shogeg side is tikkun ha'olam, that'll be patur. But that's not the statement of it. It's master that the mezid side is it tikkun ha'olam. That does not fit with Hezkiah. So comes the Gemara and says, hachinamek ka'amar. The way you have to read the Mishnah is like this. Mizidim hayavim. Period. Now we're going to make a diyuk. Hashogegin peturim. That's a fair diyuk to make. If the Mishnah only said that mizid is hayav, you can make a diyuk to say what? Shogeg is indeed patur. Oh, and then the braita on the inference is saying what? Mepene tikkun ha'olam. Which means the braita's tikkun ha'olam is going back on the inference of the Mishnah. Which is really mizidim hayav. You know why mizidim has a hayav? Because hezek she'eno nikar hayav. Make a deal. Why did the Mishnah say a case of mizid hayav? Must be shogeg is going to be patur. Oh, shogeg is patur. Oh, v'tani ala braita mepene tikkun ha'olam. And therefore, the reason why shogeg is patur, and what's the logic? Because if you're not going to let the Kohen, if you're going to tell the Kohen he has to pay, he's not going to confess to the guy that he did with the pigul. Therefore, the guy's going to be out of a korban. He didn't bring his hayuv. And therefore, to give the guy an incentive, that's good. So therefore, we can answer it according to Hezkiah. It fits according to Hezkiah. We had a question against him. We can answer him. Good. Next case. Again, according to Rabbi Yohanan, they don't have to fix anything. Rabbi Yohanan said, Mezidim Chayavim. Mezidim Chayavim, and he said, Tikkun Olam. That works good. Good according to him. Adam, on the Mezid side, you need Tikkun Olam, because really, you're Patur. And if you had to make it, because people are not going to go just, arbitrarily, No. It's a mahlok in Hezkiah and Rabbi Yohanan, where the tikkun olam is on. According to Hezkiah, the tikkun olam is on the shogeg side. According to Rabbi Yohanan, the tikkun olam is on the mezid side. So we're answering that this can even be going according to Hezkiah. Comes again, it's Mativ Rabbi Elazar. Ha'oseh melacha b'mehatat. What's the mehatat? Mechatat is the waters that I used to sprinkle in the para aduma situation over there. And not in the the mechatat. The waters. The special waters. Ubeparat hatat. Or let's say you do a melacha with the para aduma. Okay, itself, the actual para aduma itself, you're not allowed to do a melacha with it. Right? You cannot do any work. So it says, if somebody used the mechatat, the holy waters of the para aduma, or the para itself, and you did a melacha with it, the Torah says, asher lo ala aleha ol. You can have any yoke on the para aduma, or any work. And furthermore, by the mechatat, they learned the same thing. It says, lemishmeret, lemenida. You can only use it for sprinkling. You cannot use it for anything else. So what did he do? He went and he used it for something else. Patur bedine adam, v'haya bedine shamayim. From the law of Adam, meaning in Betin, patur. However, b'dei shamayim, according to God's rules, he's going to be high. They can't mechayev him from a court, let's say, on earth, to pay back the kodesh for ruining this animal. Now you're causing the sibur to out of money. You cannot cause them in Beit Din to pay this guy to pay. But according to the Shamayim and Shamayim, he's chayav. Now, what does it mean? Yehayav b'derech Shamayim. She says, "Puranut l'shalem rasha'im." And God's going to punish this guy. Punish the rasha'im. Shirat kaven l'afshid Yisrael. This guy's a bad guy. He spoiled the assets of Klai Yisrael. Don't worry, God's going to take care of this guy. Now, v'i amart hezek shenun ikar shemeh hezek. But if you hold like Hezekiah, now is this a case of hezek shenun ikar? You look at the waters, you cannot tell if the work was done with those waters or not. It's hezek shenun ikar. Or the animal. You look at the animal, at face value, supervision, you cannot tell if the animal was used or not for melacha. Oh, so it's hezek shenun ikar. And you're telling me what? Patur bide adam. So you see against Hezekiah. So give us the bidin Adam, not me the Hayev. Right? You should be Hayev called Adam. Who motive la, who mefarek la? Rabbi Elazar asked the question, and he answered the question. Now you see that many times in the chat. Who motive, who mefarek? The same one that asked, answered. How does he answer? Like this. We have another law that you have to keep in mind. Even if you hold Hezek she'eno Nikar is a hezek, but that's only talking where you did it directly. There's another law that says gerama. What is gerama? Indirect damage. I didn't damage it directly. I did it roundabout. Everybody agrees that a gerama in nizikin is patur. If I didn't do it directly. So you know what Rabbi Elazar comes along and says over here? We didn't give you the case. How did he damage the waters of the Hatate? Or how did he damage this cow over here that he used it for melacha? What did he do over here? He says, no, I'll tell you the case was. Para shechnisa l'rabaka al menat shetinak v'tedush. He brought the para aduma into the barn with intention, in order shetinak, in order to nurse it, which means one wants to give it some milk. I guess its mother was in the barn. So the guy's intention, when he's bringing it into the barn, he's like, mashallah, it wasn't in his brain, not saying anything. He's bringing it in order to nurse from the from its mother, and also when he's going to be in the barn. And it is wheat on the ground, and he's just walking, he's going to thresh the wheat. And that's doing melacha. But that is not considered a direct damage. Why? Look at the bottom Rashi, please. Kedesh shetinak et ima. We wanted to nurse from the mother. That's why he's bringing it in. Vetidosh betwa imashar. With the other animals that are in the barn. Now, the tashlumin leka. You can't make him obligated to pay for what he did. Why? The Amar Letobach Nasita Shetinak. Hey, what do? I brought it in there so I can nurse. Okay? Ufsula Loavi Ela Mahmat Mahashavto. Listen, my Mahase is I brought it in so I could nurse. Now in my Mahshava, I was a wise guy. I'm thinking, oh, it's gonna go in there, it's gonna thresh. But you know what? Shinit Kevin after the douche. The Gerama bin Ezekin Padu. The Machshava lo Machabinamle. On the guy's Machshava, I'm not going to Mechayek. What was his action? His action was he brought it to nurse. Yeah, I did a good thing. You want to get me on a Machshava? Now you're right. This action, it's enough to posail the animal from Paraduma uses. As he says, Mahmat Machshava. I'm going to Dipsula Mahmat Machshava. The animal will be pasul even in such a case. Kedamar. Which means so long as it was done willingly, he's got to be chayav, even though he only did it in machshava, but you cannot call that guy a mazik, biyadayim. It's called a girama b'nizikin. So let's go back to the question. You asked me a question, you said, hold it. Hezek she'enu nikar. Right? Why you patur bide adam? You know why you patur bide adam? Because this case, the way he damaged it was not in a direct way. He did it indirect. Why? His ma'aseh was that he brought it in to nurse. And his brain is thinking, beauty, once I get it in there, it'll walk around now, it'll thresh some of the items over there. So you really ruined the paraduma. But yes, the guy, hey, what did you do? I brought it in to nurse. On the ma'aseh, it's a girama. Okay, good. Now,
What's the case of Mechatat? Mechatat Sheshakal Baim Mishkalot. You use the Mechatat as a weight. What did you do? You took the Mechatat, it's in a cup, let's say, you know, with, let's say it weighs, on, let's say, 5 pounds, let's say, right? You just put it on the scale. So did you do anything wrong yet?
No.
You put it on the scale. Once there's no scales, you know, they go up and down. You put it on one side. You're not weighing anything yet. Then you came along and you put meat on the other side of the scale. So I didn't damage it. Now, bottom line, you're using it now as a weight. That melacha was officially done with the mechatat. But it's an indirect melacha. I put the meat on this side. Memela now, it went up and now caused it to become a weight. That's considered a girama. Benizikin, that's why you're patur bide adam. So Hezkiah is able to answer, meaning Elazar asked a question and he answered. The only problem with this, the Gemara says, doesn't work. Gemara says, Mechatat, Sheshakal ben Mishkalot Kishira. Rava holds that if you use the waters as a weight, it's still kosher. That's not considered even doing menacha. So therefore, you shouldn't be hayav, even be deshamayim. You did nothing. That's not considered even a menacha. So the Gemara says, Lakasha, habigufan, habichinigdan. The Gemara makes a hiduk. Habigufan, habichinigdan, which means like this. That which we said, let's go slow. That which we said, Rava, that it's not considered melacha, that's kinigdan. That's the way you did. You put it on one side of the scale, and on the other side you put a piece of meat. That's not even a melacha. That's what Rava said. Oh, in our case over there, we said it ruined it. We're talking about where you actually put the meat in it, which means you're weighing the meat using displacement. How? A guy has a keli with mechatat in it, and on the keli has ridges. So he knows if the water gets to a certain height, he knows the volume. And if it gets to a certain height, he knows the volume. So what do? He wants to measure his piece of meat. So he drops it in the mechatat. The water rises. He's able to measure from where the water was to the line now where it went up to. And now he measures. When you're using it like that, that's considered melacha. Okay, so Rava that said it's not a melacha is kenegdan, when you're putting it on the scale. And the case that we were learning where you're going to be patur bide adam, but hayab bide shamayim, he was talking about we actually put the meat inside. The Gemara says, hold it, that cannot make any sense. The Gemara says, Bigufan ma'aseka abid bihu. What are you talking? If you put the piece of meat inside, that's not a gerama anymore. That's a direct melacha. You're putting the piece of meat in the item. V'ihezek, shenunika shemehezek, bidine adam nami lahayev. Now, true, it's a hezek shenunika. You look at the water, you have to take the meat out. Let's assume that you can't tell that anything happened. But if you hold like Hezkiah, that Hezek she'eno nikar is hayab, in this case, well, you should be hayab bide adam as well. And don't tell me you're a girama. You're learning out of case to where you actually put the meat in the water. That's a direct item. So we're back to a question. What's the case of the mechatat? You can't tell me you still might use it as a weight, because a weight won't even posel it for mechatat. You can't tell me you put it actually inside, because if you put it, you should be hayab bide adam if you put it inside. That's a mamashay. Melacha. Okay, I'm going to answer Rabbah differently. Idi ve'idi b'chinegdan. Melakashya. Had asach dachte. Had ilu asach dachte. Okay, introduce new factor. We agree. From the melacha standpoint, putting it on the weight, putting it on the scale is not a melacha. But you have to introduce another factor. The mechatat has to be constantly guarded. It says limishmeret lemenida. Once a person, let's say, takes his mind off of it or abandons it even for a few seconds, already it's pasul because of hesei hadat. Different item. Okay, good. Rava was talking about where you just took the mechatat, put it on one side of the skin. You're looking at it the whole time. You put another piece of meat on the other side. It went up. It went down. But you didn't take your mind off the mechatat. That mechatat is still going to be kashir. From the melacha standpoint, it's not a melacha. From the yisei hada'at standpoint, you didn't take your mind off it. Beautiful. In the case we discussed above, that we said, you patur bide adam haya bide shamayim, you put it on the side of the scale. Did you do anything? Nothing. But what? He walked away. He was masiyah da'at. Now, took his mind off it. And he took his mind off it. Now it's pasul. Not because of melacha. It's pasul because of hesed. Now, that's a hezek she'en onikar. Oh, so hezek she'en onikar over here, according to the opinion that the Hizkiyah. This is why hezek she'en onikar should be hayab. So what's the story over there? So we're going to come along and say that what? He's patur bide adam, but he's going to be hayav bide shamayim. Rashi, look at Rashi matnitin. That's how darte. Mishmiratan. From watching it. Al yedea mishkat shakab v'nefselu b'zeh adad. Tel mishmeret lemen idaketiv. She sericha shimur tamid. Umi, who is the key? Bedine adam no ma'ayev de gerama be'almahu. It's not a direct item. You get ama. I put it on the scale. Anything wrong? No. In my mahshava, I walked away. It's not a ma'aseh that I did to the item. I didn't mazik the item biyadayim. It's like a passive type of ezek, which is really called an indirect by being mesiyah dat. That's why it's going to be patur biyadayim. So it's a ezek she'eno nikar, which still means hayav. But this was biger ama. I did it in mahshava. I didn't do it directly, and therefore I am going to be patusav Hizkiyah. Let's go back. Somebody will ask you a question. Hizkiyah, you say Hizik Shinrikar is Hayav? Absolutely. Minat Torah? Absolutely. Okay, beautiful. I have a statement that says a guy was Mazik, Mehatat, which in a way that's not Nikar, he tell me Patubi the Adam. Oh, you know why? Case where he did it Begirama. How could you tell me the case he did it Begirama? Did what? Did he put a piece of meat in the item itself? If he put the piece of meat with this, that's not Begirama. That's Mazik Biyadayim. No, he put it on the scale. Even though putting it on the scale is not a melacha per se to posel, but the psul came from, he walked away. Sad he was masel. He took his mind. He didn't even walk away. That's he took his mind off of it. That's that. That's a gerama. Because otherwise you be hayav b'dei adam.
Anytime.
No, because we wanted to give a similar case to para and this where you did like an action. Because the case of the para was a case you did a melacha. The case of the bright was haosim melacha b'mehatat. Uparat hatat. So by the para, we gave a case where you brought it in linak and nadush. So we gave a similar case where it's not per se a melakah, it's a posel for para. Because you're putting it on the scale, it's a melakah, meaning, but it's not a type of melakah, it's posel for that. Technically the same thing. But you took your mind off it. By the way, you did a begerama. That's the point. But we just put them together because by the para case, you have a case where you actually did a zek. But ikhrami, you could have a case like that as well. Gemara has a question. Mativ Rav Papa. Okay, we're going to discuss questions, cases over here. Now we have, let's just give a hakdama to a law that we all are familiar with. A guy steals something. A guy steals an object. If the object is still intact, meaning it's the same object, you have to return the actual object. I don't care if the price went up, price went down, fluctuate. You have the object. As long as the object is intact and nothing changed on the object itself. Now, once already the object changed, it's not there anymore, so now you have to pay compensate with money. Okay, that's the basic rule that we know. Now we discuss a case over here. What did he do, a guy? Gazal matbaya v'nifsal. Guy stole a coin from his friend. After he stole the coin, the government took it out of circulation. So now the coin is not in circulation anymore. Okay? So he stole a coin that was value. Right? Now you give me back. Give me back nothing. Give me back zero. Now, terumah v'nitmit. He stole terumah from his friend. It became tameh. Now he didn't do it on purpose. It became tameh. Then now it's worthless. Hametz v'avar alav Pesach. He stole hametz from his friend. And then what? The hametz went over to Pesach. He didn't sell the hametz. Went over Pesach. Now the hametz is worthless. The guy cannot use hametz of alav Pesach. All these cases, Omer lo, let's get the din. Hares shilcha lefanecha. He tells the guy, listen, the item's still here. Here's your coin. Basically, he gave him back nothing. Here's your terumah. Gave him back nothing. It's tameh. Here's your hametz. Garbage. He gave him back nothing. It's hametz of alav Pesach. Now we get to the case. V'yehamar tezek shenikar shemehezek. Hizkiyah. You said that a hezek, she'enu nikar, is a hezek, right? And therefore, bottom line, even though it's the coin, you can't tell there's anything wrong with the coin. But bottom line, there's a damage here that took place. It's not, no, if you hold it, that's considered a hezek. You got to look at it. It's not the same coin. Okay, if you hold hezek she'enu nikar lo avi hezek. So therefore, that's why you put the item's intact. Nothing happened to it. Give it right back. I don't care if the thing went out of circulation. But if you hold that he hezek she'enu is like it's damaged. So therefore, when you stole the coin, you're giving back something else now. What's the law? When the item changed, then you got to pay. So therefore, hay gazlanu mamona me'elya ba'eshelume. He's got to pay back money. If you owe that a hezek, it's a hezek, it's a different item. You know what the Gemara says to this? Tiyufta. That's a knockout on Hezkiah. Now, the Gemara says, actually, the machloket of Hezkiah and Rabbi Yohanan, whether minat Torah, hayav or not, on hezek shenu yikar, is actually a machloket amongst the Tanaim. Lema ketanae. Hametameh. Vehametamah. Vehamenasek. Our cases. Ehad shogeg, vehad mezid, hayav. Nushita. Ben shogeg, ben mezid, hayav. Devrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, בשוגג פטור, במזיד חייב. רבי יהודה ספץ, שוגג פטור, מזיד חייב, like our Mishnah. Right? My love, בהק מפלגה. We're going to say that the מחלוקת over between the Bimeir and the Bimeir as follows. The more savar, it's the Bimeir holds, his actually called Shem Mehizik. And therefore, ben בשוגג, ben במזיד חייב. Umor sabar, and the Biudah will hold, last shemehezek. And therefore, what? Really, you should be patur across the board. It's just that in the mezid, we're going to knas him. Mm-hmm. Right? Mezid, we're going to knas him. That's why mezid hayat. But really, in the Torah, patur. So we find the machlok at Tanaim. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak. No. Dekol le'al mehezek shenu nikar, last shemehezek. And incidentally, that is the halakha. Last shemehezek, but you see the Gemara trying to go that route. Really, hezek shenukat isminato is not a hezek. Oh, ve'alka. So what's the machlok? Rabbi Meir said, "Ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, hayav." Ato itamim min haTorah, patur. Halka bekansu shogeg atu mezid ka bepalge. We're going into a famous machlok over here. Everybody's going to say like this: hezek shenunikar min haTorah, patur. But on the mezid, you got to knas the guy. Because otherwise, you're going to say, but this guy's going to go damage his friend's stuff and ruin his stuff. They'll have to pay. So everybody agrees on the mezid, you got to knas him. The machloket is over here, are you gozer shogeg atu mezid? Rabbi Meir will say, you gozer shogeg atu mezid. And Rabbi Yudah is going to say, no. Mor sabar kansu shogeg atu mezid. That's Rabbi Meir. Or mor sabar lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. Yod that's a Yehuda, which means everybody really holds what? Hezek shenunikar min haTorah patur. On the mezid, you got to knas the guy, but he's got to pay. On the shogeg, machloket. The Bimeir will say, knas him, atu mezid, shogeg atu mezid. And the Yehuda will say, look, kansin at shogeg atu mezid. Now, once we establish this, just crystallize this one point. That means the Bimeir, we can establish, he has a mentality that says, when you kones on the mezid, you got to get him on the shogeg as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you, the Gemara says, that in another place, the Bimeir doesn't go with that. That he keeps the shogeg mutar, and he's kones on the mezid. And I'm going to show you that the Yehuda, that he wasn't kones shogeg atu mezid by hezek, but by another case, he was. So the Gemara says, v'ramed Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. Now let's learn this independently. It's a famous writer we learned in Masechet Shabbat. Netanya. Habibashel b'Shabbat. A guy goes, he cooks on Shabbat. B'shogeg yochal. If he did it by mistake, he didn't know the halakha, let's say, whatever it was. He didn't know it was Shabbat. Yochal, he himself can eat it on Shabbat. B'mezid lo yochal. But the guy himself, b'mezid, no good. Cannot eat the item. Devei Rabbi Meir. Stop right there. You see the contradiction? Mezid. Again, over here, it's a knas, by the way. Because really, you cook. Cooking is the isur. But the meat itself. Okay, what happened to the meat? The meat doesn't become asur. Eli, you want to say that what? You did it be mezid. I'm knasing you. You can't eat it. But on the shogeg, he said it's okay. So you see, the meat doesn't go with shogeg atu mezid. Let's continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. B'shogeg yochal lemotzei Shabbat. Rabbi does machmir. On shogeg, you can't eat it till motzei Shabbat. You got to wait till motzei Shabbat. And now you got to wait. You got to wait the amount of time that would have taken to cook the food. B'mezid yochal olamit. And mezid, you cannot eat the guy who cooked it cannot eat the item forever. Stop right there. What is he going to be without? He's gozer on the mezid, and he's even gozer on the shogeg. Against what he said by Hezek, third shita, which is not nogayatos, but third shita. Rabbi Yochanan Sandlan Omer, b'shogeg yochal lemotzei Shabbat la'achirim velo lo. Rabbi Yochanan is the most mahmid. He says on shogeg, motzei Shabbat, only others, not the guy that cooked, only others can eat it on motzei Shabbat. The guy himself is asur forever. I'll give you the b'shogeg. B'shogeg. Motzei Shabbat Achirim. B'mezid lo yochal olamit. Lo, lo, v'lo la'achirim. Nobody. B'mezid, no, not you, not the guy. Good. Now let's get back to our question. Kasha d'Rabbi Meir d'Rabbi Meir. Kasha d'Rabbi Yehuda d'Rabbi Yehuda. Let's crystallize the question again. By Hezek she'enu nikar Rabbi Meir was gozer. Shogeg atu mezid. However, by Shabbat he wasn't. How are you going to answer? Give us no problem. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir la kasha. Why? Ki kanis bedrabanan bedeoraita lo kanis. Now listen. Hezek she'enu nikar is a rabbinical article. Minat Torah hezek she'enu nikar patur. Okay? That which we said on Mezid that he has to pay on hezek she'enu nikar is only bedrabanan. Minat Torah he patur. Now, on rabbinical items, you got to strengthen rabbinical items. Because rabbinical items, people, you know, it's only rabbanan, they're lenient. So you say, you know what? On a rabbinical item like Ezek Shenu Nikar, I'm going to mahmir mezid, and you got to be mahmir the shogeg also. But on Shabbat, the guy did a deoraita. Deoraitas, people generally know deoraitas are serious things. So therefore, on the mezid, I'm going to kones. But I don't got to go so far on the deoraita to go zed shogeg atum mezid because the deoraitas already are severe in people's eyes. Gemara says, wait. One of the cases of Hezek was what? The guy poured the wine for Avodah Zarah. Remember that was one of the cases? Now that's the guy did a deoraita over there. And still the Rabbi Meir says, Hezek should regard you go zed. Shogeg atu mezid. But that's a deoraita case, which is when you pour tiruman your friend's chulin, that's not deoraita. Mm-hmm. When you touch your friend's metamet, that's not a deoraita per se. But what? Here the guy did a deoraita. Well, that's all right. Poured the. So therefore, you should go zed shogeg as well. Your rule is what? I'm sorry. You should not go zed. Your rule is you only go zed under the bananas. But menasech is a deoraita. To that, the Gemara says, "Mishum chomra da'avodat kuchavim kanasle." I said, "Avodah zara, different story. Chomra avodah zara." Even though it's a deoraita, you got to be mahmir on that item. Avodah Zarah, Shabbat is Shabbat, we know it's important. But Avodah Zarah is the worst. So therefore on that item, we're going to be mahmir even on a shogeg. Okay, Humrad Avodah Zarah, kakanisle. Okay, now wait. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lakasha. Now we got to answer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Rabbi Yehuda by Shabbat, he was gozer. Shogeg atu mezid. However, by the case of Ezek she'enu nikar, he said shogeg is okay, mezid is a problem. Are you gozer shogeg or you're not gozer shogeg atu mezid? He looks at the opposite way. He says like this: ki lo kanis bedrabanan. He says on the rabbanan items, you don't have to be gozer. It's bedrabanan. You don't have to be so mahmir. Have a bedoraita kanis. Okay, deoraita, you have to be mahmir. So comes the Gemara and says, so therefore what? On Shabbat, which is a deoraita, a guy did a bishul. Okay, deoraitas, you have to be careful, you got to protect the deoraitas. Hezek she'enu nikar, which is only a drabanan, you don't have to be gozer. Come on, we're talking about, menasek deoraita velo kanis. What do you mean? But menasek is deoraita. Avodah Zarah. And you weren't kones. I thought you were kones on the oraitas. He says the reverse of Allah. Mishum humra da avodat kuchavim mivdal bidili mine. Listen, everybody knows the humra of Avodah Zarah. You don't got to be mahmir on Avodah Zarah. And the guy, everybody knows the stringency. And therefore, I don't have to make gizirot on an item that's so well known and so severe in the eyes of the people. On their own, they're going to be careful. I've got to be kones on a shogeg. So comes out, let's just stop here and let's just review what took place here. We had a basic stira over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? By Hezek She'eno Nikar, according to the Rabbi Meir, he was gozer shogeg atu mezid. Let's take a simple case of Hezek She'eno Nikar. The guy, when he was with Tameh, his friend's teruma. Okay, well, let's say She'eno Nikar, the teruma, it looks the same. Can't tell the difference, right? If he didn't be mezid, knas the guy. Because mina Torah, everybody's holding Hezek She'eno Nikar patur mina Torah. Really? Nobody has to pay in these cases. Mezid, knas the guy. Otherwise, people are just going to go with Tameh, their friend's stuff. I'm off the hook. So if we knas him on the mezid, everybody agrees to that. To be mezid, you know what? I'm not only going to knas him on the mezid, I'm getting him on the shogeg also. Oh, so you hold that what? You kones shogeg atu mezid. Then how come by Shabbat? When a guy cooked on Shabbat, you told me my mistake, b'shogeg, it's okay. B'mezid, no good. Shogeg atu mezid. Rabbi Meir, what do you do? And that's Rabbi Meir, skstira. He says, come on, listen, on a deoraita, don't got to worry about it. Deoraita is a strict item. Don't got to worry about it. On the Rabbanan, like Hezek Shur Nikar, got to strengthen. Oh! Even the zikshur nikar mina six de oraita, and you will go there. Avodah Zarah, we're going to kones. Humrat Avodah Zarah, we're going to get him on the shogeg. That's a strict item. Want to keep the guy away from Avodah Zarah under all circumstances. But reverse, Rabbi Yehuda, when it came to his zikshur nikar, you see, not mina Torah, it's mutar, I'm patur. I'm only konesing him on the mezid. The shogeg, let him go. I'm not gozer shogeg to mezid, but on Shabbat. You said Mevashel Beshogeg Asur to Motzei Shabbat and Mezid and Asur Le'olam. So you gozer. You know what? I'm gozer on Deoraitas, by the way. Deoraitas is a serious item. I'm going to make gozer. On Rabbanaz, Hezek She'eno Nikar, I'm not going to gozer. Wait, but you weren't gozer. But Deoraitas is gozer. Menasech. And you weren't gozer. Hey, listen. I'm Menasech is Avodah Zarah. That's Chumrah, so severe. People know that. You don't have to be goes into such a case.